Well, we've got a nice little crowd with us this evening. Tina, welcome.
Hello.
Jamie, welcome.
Hey.
Nikki, welcome.
Hello, hello.
And Mike is back. Imagine
Yay,
that.
Mike is back.
Imagine that. We're discussing our performer of the week this week, and considering that, I was going to pick on Mike first, but I know he'll hate me for it. Tina, why don't you tell us who your performer of the week is this week?
You really didn't want to pick on me first.
Well, I was going to actually make Mike do it because he's a new person, but considering, or he's the returning person, but I think I'll give him a break.
I think you should be picking on Nikki first.
I think I should be picking on Tina first.
You're not going to like my answer.
Hey, us girls are supposed to stick together. What's up with that, Tina?
Well, the thing is that, you know, I'm going to take everybody right out from under you because I'm doing what you hate.
And a tie?
No, I'm just going to just pull out the whole cast of One Life to Live and screw you all.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the last time I did this, Luke wasn't too happy with me. I can't pick a particular person because all week long, every one of them pulled out the stops. It was all great. It was emotional. It was high. It was low. There was death. There was somehow happiness rolled in the middle of all that. Kudos to the writers, to the actors. They all brought their A game. If you're not watching One Life to Live, you should be.
Nikki, who did you choose?
Well, since everybody told me I should start watching it, I decided I would start watching it the other day. And I would have to say that mine goes to Forbes March because he basically didn't have any dialogue and yet he just brought that entire scene home. I mean, you could totally put yourself where he was at and feel what was going on around him and, you know, how distressing that must be knowing you're going to die and you're going to leave your wife who's just, you know, told you she's going to have another baby and leave your daughter. And it had me in tears and I don't cry often. So, that's who mine went to.
Jay, are you going to turn this into a One Life to Live love fest?
It definitely is. And I have to say, I wasn't impressed with a lot of it early on. We talked about it a little bit. I thought a little the boardroom stuff was a little cheesy. It was great because it was a throwback to the 80s, but I just really didn't buy Dr. Dorian Lord in the big church hat taking over BE. Bree Williamson did the work of her career in the follow-up, and I could definitely, there's no way I could pick anyone other than someone from One Life to Live this week. I mean, not only Bree Williamson, but I have to give a shout-out to Natalie Archer, who...
Melissa Archer
as Natalie. Oh, my God. I mean, they're the two to watch for the next 6 months, I can tell, with this storyline. So, kudos to both of Vicky's twins.
Mike, who did you
choose? Well, I'm going to break your stride and not pick an ABC. Oh, it's only because I don't watch ABC. So, my vote, I'll have to say it was Slim Pickens this week. The most dramatic person I saw do anything was Heather Tom on Bold and the Beautiful. She was able to take her, well, let's say a couple weeks ago, and she was not wanting to live. She decided that was her destiny to move forward with her brother's heart. So while they were celebrating her birthday, she found out that her body's rejecting it. So now she has to deal with the prospect of dying, and she's enjoying what time left she has with her, is it her Aunt Bridget's boyfriend and her mother and her sister's ex-boyfriend?
He's equal
because
opportunity.
Bridget passed him off. Bridget decided like an idiot to pass him off to Katie to make her happy for a couple of weeks. Probably because she thought Katie was going to die anyway, but that's not what's going to happen. So she gets my vote for this week.
I hate to make this a One Life to Live love fest, considering the fact that a bunch of us picked One Life to Live last week, or half of us picked One Life to Live last week, and now I guess it's going to be three out of four of us are going to pick it this week. Bree Williamson, you guys were right, did the work of her career. I wouldn't go so far by any of the stretch of imagination to agree with Tina on this one in terms of the whole cast. There were some glaring omissions in terms of performances, at least in my opinion. But
there was one person who kind of sucked a little, but everybody else made up for it.
And he usually is so good, so I don't know what happened.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. But there was also other things, like there was so much intensity with Todd and Blair and Star and that dynamic. There was great intensity there. And then you had great intensity with the board meeting. Great stuff there. Then there was David and Charlie Banks, and that stuff was good. But then you get into the whole Jewel heist, Antonio, Talia, McBain, police captain crap. And every time I was watching it, I go from this really intense stuff that was going on to this, like, somewhat of a letdown, just because it didn't seem to be equaling the intensity of which the rest of the show was going. And for me, it was a little bit jarring at times. And so it's nothing against the actors involved, because, I mean, it's entirely based on the storyline in that respect. But it just seemed like it was so out of character in comparison to the other three major storylines that were going on. I would definitely say Bree Williamson, definitely, definitely as a pick for Performer of the Week. She's done the work of her career. If this was Emmy season, well, considering last year we predicted that Catherine Hicklin and Kathy Breyer, considering we predicted that they'd have Emmy nominations, and oh, look, they don't this year. I almost don't want to predict that Brie would get an Emmy nomination, but she would deserve one for this stuff. It was great, great stuff, in my opinion. Anybody have any honorable mentions? I know that I got a text message from Jamie this week that says, I can't believe I'm rooting for Gloria again.
That's not about her acting,
though. Say it's not so.
That wasn't about her acting. That was about Sharon being a bitch and kicking Gloria when she's down and not wanting to even let her stay in the crappy pool house. I was like, okay, at least, you know, I'm okay with Karma having smacked Gloria on the bottom really good, so I can ease up for now until she starts some more diva stuff, then I'll be hating on her again.
She hasn't suffered enough.
Oh, no.
No.
She
Ashley's
hasn't been.
Coming,
I mean,
though.
Come on. One day I've been at a job
I am waiting for the day when, you know, Ashley Abbott comes back, what, June 20th, and she's going to ream her, and I've been waiting for that scene for 4 years, so that'll be good.
I hope it lives up to your expectation.
So anybody have any honorable mentions?
I have one more, and this isn't for dramaticness. I actually had to say I thoroughly enjoyed seeing drunk EJ on Days of Our Lives. James Scott plays drunk really well. He was so entertaining. I was laughing so hard. That was a good entertaining performance, quote unquote.
Any other honorable mentions?
No, I don't. I didn't really think. You know, like I said, there was nothing that really stood out for me, so.
Jay?
No. I mean, Erica Slezak could read the phone book and be entertaining, but she did a great job. But, I mean, that's just like saying, you know, I don't know. I can't think of anything right now clever to say. But she's just always good, so I always enjoy her.
Well, let's discuss the ratings for this week. For the week of May 26th through May 30th, these are the ratings. Young and the Restless at 3.6, Bold and the Beautiful at 2.7, General Hospital at 2.2, All My Children at 2.1, One Life to Live at 2.1, Days of Our Lives at 2.0, As the World Turns has sunk to 1.9, its new lowest rating ever, and Guiding Light has sunk to 1.6, its new lowest rating ever. First impressions going around the circle. Nikki, you were laughing.
Yeah, just because Guiding Light just, you know, keeps going down and down, and they don't seem to be getting the picture that they need to make some changes. And I'm not talking about shoving a camera farther up somebody's nose. So that's just hilarious to me. They're not obviously paying attention to the fact that the fans aren't liking this. Hello? Can you hear us?
And they're leaving en masse. I mean, isn't this the ratings that Passions was canceled at?
Yeah.
Jamie, what do you think?
It's really sad because YNR is about at the ratings that Another World and Santa Barbara were canceled at. And that's the top soap. So it's a sad day. Well, I definitely feel like that As the World Turns, dropping to its new lowest rating, has to do with the fact that it went from a great romantic comedy during the Katie and Brad wedding to plot again. And, you know, it's just painful to watch. It's not as painful as Guiding Light, but, I mean, that whole mess with that little girl trying to say that Paul raped her, and nobody cares about Paul and Meg. That stuff works if this is a couple that we really care about being torn apart. When are these people going to get it through the head? We don't want to see Paul and Meg. Who cares? So that's why people are tuning out over there, I predict. But the rest of them, you know, other than YNR and B&B, it's the same rating. GH, AMC, One Life to Live, Days. I really feel like we should all just scream to the roofs that people should start watching One Life to Live, because it does not deserve to be in this. It should be right up there. Hell, it should be the most watched soap.
I think Days of Our Lives should be up higher, too.
It should be, too, yes. Days definitely is most improved. It's off the short bus.
Mike, what do you think?
I just think that it's not really a surprise to see things dropping down. Like Jay said with As the World Turns, it's just there's so much crap going on with people that nobody likes or cares about. I mean, I'm counting the days that Amira and Sophie are gone, but who knows what they're going to do. Guiding Light, what else can you say about that? There's been a couple of things that seem like had a little bit more interest for me last week. Young and the Restless, I don't know. Some people seem to think that might be suffering from some side effects of the Price is Right lead-in. I don't know if that factors into their drop as well.
It could be a factor.
Of course, it's been boring, but now things may be starting to come around again. Everybody wanted to see Gloria get her comeuppance, and that seems to be happening. And there's just other little things, like with Nick remembering everything about his daughter's death, that was really good. So there are some signs there.
So Tina, what do you think of the ratings?
Well, the ratings are skewed for this week, simply because all the ABC soaps and Days were all repeats on Monday, whereas all the CBS soaps were new episodes.
Well, that doesn't bode well for the CBS soaps.
No, it doesn't. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
When all you got to watch at 2 o'clock is Guiding Light, when that's the only thing that's on TV and people still aren't watching it.
So the CBS soaps were all new and everything else wasn't?
That's correct. So the ratings for Monday look really, really skewed all over the place. AMC was like a 1.4. As the World Turns was a 1.8, which is new. Bold and the Beautiful was a 2.4. That was for a new episode. Days was a 1.8 for a repeat. GH was a 1.2 for a repeat. Guiding Light was a 1.4 for a new episode.
What was One Life to Live?
One Life to Live was a 1.4 for a repeat. YNR was a 3.5 for a new episode.
Wow. Well, can you imagine? I mean, all these would be up at least another tenth or, I mean, everything like One Life to Live and All My Children in General Hospital would be at least up another 0.1 or 0.2 each.
Well, that's why I'm saying these ratings are a little off, simply because it was a repeat, so that doesn't count for the ratings. Nielsen doesn't take repeats into account.
Well, things just got a whole lot more interesting now, didn't they?
I learn a little bit something about ratings every time we talk about it, because it's something that I can say that I have a limited knowledge about.
How sad is that, that the P&G soaps had no competition in their
time slot,
and they still both posted their lowest rated ever.
You know what did?
That's almost becoming a misnomer now.
But to be fair, this was Memorial Day. Who's at home watching soaps on Memorial Day?
Well, here's what happened. See, people turned on Guiding Light, and then the only other channel that they had was the Discovery Channel, and there was some bird watching show, and they figured the birds were getting more action than the people on Guiding Light, so they were going to go check them out.
I'd rather watch those meerkats than Guiding Light.
Oh, there you go.
to be... name them Josh and Reva and be done with it.
They definitely get more action, that's for sure.
To be perfectly honest, especially in the case of Guiding Light, their ratings were under a 1.0 in the Boston area. They were 0.9 something, and that really amazed me because on Memorial Day at 9 a.m., which is when it airs in my market, everything else was a rerun. And 9 a.m., even on Memorial Day, is early enough in the morning for people to watch something before they head out for the day.
And that's a major market. And you're talking about people, if they're off work that day, would at least maybe flip it on to catch up or see what's going on and that kind of stuff. So,
and they didn't.
That's not happening. Right. Good point.
Mm-mm.
Did I just bring everybody down? I'm sorry.
We're all pensive now.
It's just time for some pink slips over at Guiding Light. Right at the top. It's time people have been shown to be shown their walking papers. I never wanted to say that because I love Ellen Wheeler as an actor. And I really was happy to see, you know, Kreisman get it because he'd been an intern there and worked his way up. So, of course, I loved that story, but it's just, it's not working. I mean, it's time. Other soaps replace people when they're halfway doing good. Like, you know, I mean, Essenston and Brown sucked for most of their run, but then they started turning things around and they still got shown the door. Mm-hmm. What is it going to take for these people to be shown the door at Guiding Light? It's time for them to go.
Well, you have to think, it's not like they were renewed for a long period of time. They got picked up for, what, another year?
Well, that's pretty much the status quo these days, unless for the ABC soaps. The soaps that are struggling are only getting 1 year. It's like 1 year to year. Breathe. Breathe a little bit. Don't breathe too much.
If these ratings continue for Guiding Light on the trend that they're on, it's not going to get renewed again, and they're not going to bother to make any changes. They're just going to usher it out the door.
Well,
that's my point. Why don't they go ahead and do that now? I mean, and maybe they're giving her loyalty because, I mean, everyone did say her decisions to go to this Blair Witch production style is what saved it this time. So I don't know. Maybe they're figuring.
But here's the problem that you have, though, is when we first started discussing this, as the world turns, I mean, not first, but when we discussed this earlier in the fall before the transition took place and when you were initially talking rumors of pickup, one of the rumors was that it's a package deal. Well, that was when it was a package deal, at least initially, as the world turns, was at 2.3 and 2.4. Now it's at 1.9. All of a sudden, that package deal isn't looking so good for as the world turns, if it's in fact true. But on that note, we would encourage you to send your emails about this episode to podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. Comment on it on the blog at daytimeconfidential.com or drop by the forums at forums.tvfanonline.com. Also, we are introducing a new comment line. Basically, what this is you will now be able to call and leave a message on with your thoughts on any of the soaps, an episode of the podcast, or basically any soap-related topic that you want to leave. The comment line is 917-677-9757. Again, that is 917-677-9757. What we hope to do is, if enough people call the comment line and leave messages over the course of time, we hope to either add them on at the end of our episode so that you can, after the ending music, you'll be able to hear the comments that you have made or other listeners have made about their thoughts on the current soaps. Or if we get enough of them, we may just turn them into its own episode where people can just give their thoughts on the current state of soaps. This is sort of experimental, so we would encourage you to call the comment line at 917-677-9757 and leave us a comment. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long, folks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.